Namunna Chira Vanachari Namunna Chira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Radhi Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Radhi Yashoda Nandana Braja Ravanachari Ravanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Hare Rama Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada
Srila Prabhupada ki jai Kutra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai Tai Gaur Premanand Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Good morning, everyone. Today we're reading from Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam. Ninth Canto, Chapter 4, text 52 or 53 through 63. Okay. Excuse me. Text 59, which is coupled with text 57. So 57 through 63. Down the board. Nantraiva dvija sarubhirgrasta hridayo bhaktair bhakta janapriya aham bhakta paradino yasvan Hyasvatantra iva dvija sarubhirgrashta hridayo bhaktair bhakta jana priya. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Aham, I, Bhakta Paradina, am dependent on the will of my devotees. He, indeed, Asvatantra, am not independent. Eva, exactly like that. Dvija, O Brahmana, Sadubi, by pure devotees, completely free from all material desires. Krista Hidaya, my heart is controlled. Bhaktai, because they are devotees. Bhakta Janapriya, I am dependent not only on my devotee, but also on my devotee's devotee. The devotee's devotee is extremely dear to me. Translation. Actually, now, unfortunately, we can't read this translation right away, but we'll begin from text 57 through 59 and work our way up to this translation. So, text 57 through 59, translation. Past, present, and future are known to me, Lord Shiva, Sanat Kumar Narada, the most revered Lord Brahma, Kapila, the son of Devahuti, Apantarantma, Lord Vyasadeva, Devala, Yamaraj, Asuri, Marichi, and many saintly persons headed by him, as well as many others who have achieved perfection. Nonetheless, because we are covered by the illusory energy of the Lord, we cannot understand how expansive that illusory energy is. We should simply approach that Supreme Personality of Godhead to get relief, for this Sudarshan Chakra is intolerable even to us. Go to Lord Vishnu. He will certainly be kind enough to bestow all good fortune upon you. Text 60. Translation: thereafter, being disappointed even in taking shelter of Lord Shiva, Durvasamuni went to Vaikuntha Dham, where the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan resides with his consort, the Goddess of Fortune. Translation, text 61. Durvasamuni, the great mystic scorched by the heat of the Sudarshan Chakra, fell at the lotus feet of Narayan, his body trembling. He spoke as follows: O infallible, unlimited Lord, protector of the entire universe, you are the only desirable objective for all devotees. I am a great offender, my Lord. Please give me protection. Text 62. O my Lord, O Supreme Controller, without knowledge of your unlimited prowess, I have offended your most dear devotee. Very kindly save me from the reaction to this offense. You can do everything, for even if a person is fit for going to hell, you can deliver him simply by awakening within his heart the holy name of your lordship. Text 63. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said to the Brahmana, I am completely under the control of my devotees. Indeed, I am not at all independent. Because my devotee becomes favorable to such a devotee. Following the instructions of a devotee is more valuable than following the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Pancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhya eva cha patitanan pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So today, a very beautiful verse spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and quite a climactic build-up. We're tracing the life of Durvasamuni, who in a, we might say, an outburst of anger, invoked a great demon to kill the Lord's pure devotee. And this, as we are seeing, proved to be a great calamity he brought upon himself in the form of the Lord's Sudarshan Chakra, which the Lord has mentioned previously is reserved for actually protecting devotees and destroying the non-devotees. So we covered a few verses here. We'll just try to go a few points. First text, we also ask for the blessings of all dissembled devotees. We can try to find some inspiration in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. So the first text is describing the Durvasamuni has approached first Lord Brahma, but Lord Brahma said, actually, I can't give you protection. Because I am, he says,
Actually, we rotate within this universe under the misconception of our greatness. We cannot exhibit any power to compete with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For innumerable universes and their inhabitants come into existence and then are annihilated by the simple direction of the Lord. So he's indicating, actually, we're unable to give you protection. In order to actually give protection, one has to be capable to offer that themselves. But since they are not completely independent, they are dependent on the Supreme Lord. Therefore, they're simply encouraging, actually, look higher. Look to a more qualified person. Now they're approaching Lord Shiva, who's saying, actually, past, present, and future are known to me, Sanat Kumar, Narada, and the most revered Lord Brahma, Kapila, Vyasadeva, etc. Nonetheless, because we are covered by the illusory energy of the Lord, we cannot understand how expansive that illusory energy is. You should simply approach that Supreme Personality of Godhead to get relief. For the Sudarshan Chakra is intolerable even to us. Go to Lord Vishnu. He will certainly be kind enough to bestow all good fortune upon you. So one who is under the clutches of the illusory getting the different stages of perfection, even one who becomes self-realized, there are degrees. There's Brahman realization, Paramatma realization, Bhagavan realization. And although they have achieved perfection, it says here they're still covered by this illusory potency of the Lord. So they're encouraging, actually, you can't stop here. You have to keep going. Go to someone who's Narayanam Paravyaktat, who's beyond this material manifestation, who's beyond the modes of nature. That's only Krishna, or, as we'll hear, his pure devotee. Thereafter, being disappointed even in taking shelter of Lord Shiva, Durvasamuni went to Vaikuntha Dham, where the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan resides with his consort, the Goddess of Fortune. Durvasamuni, the great mystic, scorched by the heat of the Sudarshan Chakra, fell at the lotus feet of Narayan. His body trembling, he spoke as follows. O infallible, unlimited Lord, protector of the entire universe, you are the only desirable objective for all devotees. I am a great offender, my Lord. Please, give me protection. So we see here, in despite of making a very severe offense at the Lord's devotees, he knows how merciful the Lord is, actually. Even, you could just imagine, if you have a young child, someone very severely insults the child or offends the child, you don't expect going to the parent will be very fruitful. You think, oh, I've really messed up now. But he understands that actually Vishnu, he is the Supreme Father of all living entities. Therefore, it's mentioned that just as the child within the mother's womb may kick, but the mother actually never gets disturbed. So Krishna is never actually angry with rebellious living entities, but rather he's always compassionate. He wants to see their rectification. But here, even though Durvasamuni has made such a great offense, he's humbly, he knows that actually if someone surrenders to you, you have to give that person protection. So we'll see here, how does he do that? He's not doing it directly. He understands, actually, we cannot approach Krishna directly. So as jivatmas, we have the tendency to try to approach Krishna directly. That's our desire. I want to get direct service of Krishna, but that's not how the system works. That's not how Krishna arranges to offer his shelter. He wants to glorify his pure devotees. So he encourages Durvasamuni here. He's giving that protection, but indirectly. He's saying, okay, I'll protect, but you have to go to the devotee. You have to go to his lotus feet. So he says, I'm a great offender. Please give me protection. So the Lord is always eager to give us protection. We have to understand this is our only purpose, to completely accept the protection of the Lord and not try to depend on our own prowess, our own protection. We try to protect ourselves in so many ways. Position of surrender is more seeing in every circumstance of my life, actually, Krishna is my only protector. Krishna is my only maintainer. To the degree that we have faith in that, to that degree, Krishna can actually act in that position. Because if we just say that, but we don't actually put our faith in that, then we're still more or less depending on our material options. And that's what's going to be explained in the next few verses or purport here. It says, O my Lord, O Supreme Controller, without knowledge of your unlimited prowess, I have offended your most dear devotee. Very kindly save me from the reaction to this offense. You can do everything, for even if a person is fit for going to hell, you can deliver him, simply by awakening within his heart the holy name of your lordship. This is a very interesting verse. He's asking, the Lord has to awaken his own holy name within our heart. Golokaya Premadama Harinam Sankirtan, that the holy name, being non-different from Krishna, we can't invoke Krishna on our own. We don't have the ability or the willpower, the qualification to actually make the Lord appear. The Lord is Swarat, he's completely independent. So our endeavor is to try to beseech the Lord, to humbly beseech him through our constant efforts, that he will be pleased and he will manifest, he will descend himself in the form of his holy name. So he's saying, you can do everything, for even if a person is fit for going to hell, you can deliver him by simply awakening within his heart the holy name of your lordship. Very kindly save me from the rectification, from the reaction to this offense. So again, he knows that the Lord is very merciful, even though he's, you can imagine, he's being chased by the Lord's personal weapon. You know how intense and scary that would be? Just a few inches from his back, the Lord's razor-sharp disc. But he knows that if I actually approach you, you'll offer me protection. Because by this awakening of the holy name, actually. So here we understand the philosophy that what is our program for deliverance or salvation? I was at the interfaith conference the other day with some young sixth graders, and they're asking, how do you get free from sin? Because one of the Christian preachers, he has his Bible, and he's saying every answer that you're a sinner. We're all sinners. And some people think I'm an angry person because I tell everyone that they're a sinner, but the reality is that we're all sinners, and unless you get saved, you know, you're going to the bad place. So he was really hammering this point to a bunch of sixth graders. But the young girl asked the question, how do you get free from sin? Your bhakti. That was my answer. That actually, when you become sufficiently purified, you become completely pure, the sinful reaction is immediately eradicated from the core of your heart. But unless you achieve that degree of spiritual realization, you're still affected by you can't give up the sinning. The sin is still there. They're dormant or manifesting. So, actually only the holy name, because bhakti, but what does bhakti mean? How does bhakti function? Bhakti is characterized by the chanting of the holy name for us, especially in Kali Yuga. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, to the degree that one disbelieves in the worship of Hari, as denoted by kirtan, Hari, Harinam Kirtan, to that degree one is an atheist. So the primary method of worshipping the Supreme Lord is by the holy name, and only the holy name has the potency, Lord Chaitanya explains, Cheto Darpanam Arjanam, to actually purify all of the anartas from the core of the heart, all of the, from this life and previous lifetimes, even offenses. There are certain offenses that cannot be eradicated until very advanced levels of devotion. So through pure devotional service, through pure bhakti, actually the reactions to sin is and offenses is vanquished, and that is epitomized by the potency of the holy name, that we all have an eternal relationship with Krishna, and that is awakened through the chanting of the holy name. It's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita that pure love of God is achieved through the congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord. So this is it's described as our emperor of sadhana. The emperor of all the angas of bhakti is this Harinam Sankirtan. All of the activities that we're doing are meant to facilitate the beginning, middle, and end. Actually, the purport is the chanting of the holy name as the most recommended activity. Kaler dosha nide rajan astiheko mahanguna kirtanadeva krishnasya mukta muktaparam muk, what is it? Mukta sangasya param vrajet. Kirtanadeva krishnasya. Why? Because Krishna's name is the sweetest. There's many forms of God, many names of God. But actually the name Krishna, even by its definition, but Krishna is the sweetest form, and the name Krishna is the sweetest name of God. So this is our endeavor in spiritual life. How can I develop my taste for the chanting the holy name? Because that taste, we understand from the writings of all the great sages, that taste is what will actually maintain my devotional life. It will inspire me, it will encourage me, and on the perfectional stage, it is the essence of my life. We hear the Goswamis, they're praying, the holy name is everything. Bhakti Thakur says, within the 14 worlds, there's nothing but the holy name. So the holy name, because it is Krishna, and Krishna is everything, the holy name is everything. Therefore, when devotees actually evolve that to that level of taste, they don't need to do anything else. They're self-satisfied. Nama Nandi, just chanting the holy name. Because all of the, everything we're looking for is there in the holy name. We're looking for enjoyment, we're looking for association, companionship, happiness, relationship, emotion, everything. It's actually there. Because Krishna, and so his name, as described, it's inclusive of all of his internal potencies. So we think there's so many things we have to do and so many places we have to go into, but actually the only place we really have to go is to and be happy. And we see some devotees who have done that. We have the example of our Goswamis. This is completely paradoxical to the modern idea of happiness and satisfaction. The bigger the buildings, right? It's interesting, the big cities, they're more or less evaluated on how tall the buildings are. Like I was driving around, I went to Indianapolis or different cities, and you only have a few buildings, they're kind of small, so this is a lesser city. If you have the higher buildings, this is a more prestigious city, more people. So trying to evaluate happiness based on more or less atyahar, over-collecting, over-accumulation of material things, it's the complete opposite. The real idea is simple living, high thinking, and Harinam Ruchi, right? Jivadoya Namarucha Sarvadharmasar. That's the essence of devotion. Having compassion for those and trying to share the ultimate religious principle of the holy name with others. That's what Dharma is. That's Bhagavad Dharma. It says in the age of Kali there are no genuine religious principles. There's only the Vaishnava sadhus and the Shastra. So in Kali Yuga, the great principles of Dharma that are very much prominent in other yugas, we see Ramayana and Mahabharata, such detailed principles of Dharma, etiquette, culture. In Kali Yuga, we can't depend on that. We don't even know what that is. And we're so fallen that we're not actually able to observe all of those principles. So therefore, Kali Yuga medicine is given, that we're not qualified for anything else. Therefore, Sarvasvarta Bilabhyate. This is the highest artha, the greatest gain. Even though Kali Yuga is totally, there's one good quality, Sarva Guna, right? Sardana Bhaga, one very fortunate quality, that it's in one sense so we can see our situation in terms of, this is an exercise in terms of learning how to deal with difficult scenarios. We had a series on this at Gita Nagari, that when circumstances come in our life, you can see our mind tends to see this is the bad thing, this went wrong, this is not fair. But a Krishna conscious perspective is actually, let's see, maybe there's something better about this situation. Maybe there's something deeper going on here that I can't see, that's not on the surface. Maybe there's some good in this. So maybe some good in this. So similarly, Kali Yuga, it's the worst situation. It's the most abominable situation, actually. But it's when you see the other side of it, it's the greatest fortune for us. It's the greatest, even the great sages here, we're hearing. Sanat Kumar, Narada, Brahma, Kapila, many other saintly persons, as well as many others who have achieved perfection. But because we are covered by the illusory energy, we cannot understand how expensive that illusory energy is. Certainly these are advanced perfected souls. But in general, even great sages, even the demigods, they're unable to achieve that which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come from Goloka, Nitya Sveta Dvip Golok, and he's here to actually induce everyone to drink the Amrita of the holy name and actually awaken love of Godhead. That is our tradition. Sometimes it seems difficult to understand, but only a few hundred years ago, such great personalities, so many amazing acharyas, Shamananda, Srivas Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur, Rasikananda, all these great empowered. Anya is also there in the spiritual world, in Goloka Vrindavan. Goloka Vrindavan has two divisions. One is called the Nitya Navadvip. I said Sveta Dvip, but I think that's how it's described by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in Brahma Samhita. But Nitya Navadvip Dham is also existing there in Krishna Loka. So Lord Chaitanya is experiencing the of Krishna Prema along with his associates, and very liberally he wants to actually distribute that which is the perfectional stage of spiritual life, the natural position of the living entity. Srila Prabhupada would say that actually Krishna consciousness is not an artificial imposition on the mind, but it's actually the natural consciousness of the living entity. By hearing and chanting, the living entity naturally awakens. So what does that imply? That we're sleeping now. We're still asleep, even though we've come. But the idea is we're trying to awaken our soul, actually. And how does that soul awake? When he hears and chants the holy name purely, without offense. So many amazing songs by Bhaktivinoda Thakur about this. Lord Chaitanya goes out in the morning and he's telling all these people, why are you sleeping? Why are you still sleeping in the lap of the witch called Maya? So now this last text, as we were describing these great personalities, we see in the modern age the amount of purification when Srila Prabhupada came to this Western world, which was steeped in the darkest coverings of passion and ignorance. People don't even know what love of Godhead is. As we mentioned, there's a vague idea. Yeah, you have to accept this idea or be free from sin. But actually, what is spiritual life? What spiritual life can actually be happy and blissful? People here were not aware of. But just by one very empowered Uttamadhikari Mahabhagavat, you know, Srila Prabhupada, how it shook this Western world, its very foundations, the foundations of its spiritual culture, and created a revolution. The Supreme Personality of God had said, I am completely under the control of my devotees. Indeed, I am not at all independent. So we think Krishna is Swarat, right? Abhigya Swarat. That's the description from the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Janmadasya yataha. That Krishna is supremely independent. Even all the great devas and rishis, they can't understand him because he's beyond their ability to conceive. So, but the truth of the matter, Krishna himself is explaining here, actually, I'm not at all independent. I'm simply dependent under the control of my devotees. I'm completely under the control of my devotees. So this is the aspects of spiritual life that's meant to attract us. On one hand, we have repulsion. On the other hand, we have to have attraction. We're averse to material life. We very much condemn. But if our whole spiritual life is just condemning, there's no positive attraction, then it ends, it becomes frustrating. So also the positive has to be there. Hearing about how Krishna is actually completely under the control of his devotees. Goloka Vrindavan. He's dependent on Mother Yashoda. Right? She can command him, Krishna, you come here. Krishna, you take this. And he takes nice food preparations. Krishna, open your mouth. No, I didn't eat any dirt. Love of God. The Absolute Truth becomes, he comes under the will, under the desire of his devotee. This is the highest apex of love of God, of spiritual experience. So that is, well, Krishna came to this world to reveal that. Why? To attract us. That's, Krishna describes, that's one of the primary reasons he comes to this world. So that hearing about my pastimes, people get attracted, they'll actually develop a desire to go back there. So hearing about Krishna's activities is so essential to give us this param drishva, the higher taste. Then, so many activities in the spiritual world. Krishna is dependent on his friends. Krishna is very dependent on Radharani. Radharani is more or less controlling Krishna in their pastimes. She has the ability. So even though he's fully independent, so this is the glorious nature of being a devotee, of being a jiva. Even though we're the most insignificant, we have the opportunity, the ability in the stage of love of God, that God will humble himself before his pure devotee. So these type of exchanges of love of God, this theology, this Vaishnava Bhagavad theology, this is completely unknown to the world. We have to understand that. They don't understand at all what God is, or what a relationship with God is. So if someone doesn't have that knowledge, what is the hope that they're going to come out of that? There's no hope, actually. So therefore, it's a complete reminder that we have this most valuable knowledge, and our duty is to share that. It's described in the 7th chapter of the 8th canto, Lord Shiva. He says, actually, great personalities almost always undergo voluntary penances or austerities for the sake of others. And such sacrifice is considered the highest method of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because Krishna wants all living entities back with him. We have to understand that. He's not content seeing devotees out there. So a genuine devotee also, he's not satisfied. He sees these people walking around, these bums or people in the city or rich people, anyone. He can't just accept that. No, something should be there. That's what we said, jivadoya. Some compassion has to be there. That actually, they don't belong here. No one belongs here. They're not meant to be here. And unless the devotees, as we're hearing here, these very empowered devotees do that service, then they'll stay in the material world. Ultimately, the soul has to come back to Godhead, and that will be enacted through the mercy of the devotees who go out and try to act on behalf of the Lord. And for that, they get extra mercy. Krishna says, they're very dear to me. He says, actually, for those who do that, taking them back, and also one who, once they are devotees, or they're on the path, one who preaches to the devotees, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, no one in there will never be one more dear to me than he. You recall that verse? Natu chasman manusheshu kashchin me priyat kritama bhavita na chame tasmat anyad bhavataro bhuvi. Never will be there one in this world more dear to me than he. So that's supposed to be an encouragement. So the more we can dedicate our life every moment, actually, every fiber of our being, why not? What do we have to lose? There's nothing to lose. We have to just push ourselves. This is the only purpose of my life. So why is it that the devotees are so dear to the Lord himself is becoming under their control. It says here, my devotees are completely devoid of material desires. That's the basic qualification that Srila Prabhupada is mentioning. Why is this? Because the devotee is anabhilashita shunya. In other words, he has no material desires in his heart. So this is showing how cancerous material desires are. But Krishna says, okay, you don't want anything else? Nothing? You only want me? Okay, then I can accept you. But to the degree you want all this garbage, you know, the stool of material enjoyment, to that degree, I have to stay a little bit away from you because you're still invested materially. You're still seeking some type of mayic enjoyment. Krishna doesn't, he's not able to fully reciprocate with that. So our job is to continually attempt to purify our heart from these material attachments specifically. His desire is only to think always of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and how to serve him best. This is very joyful. Manmana bhava madbhakto. Just always think of me. What better thing is there to engage the mind in than Krishna or the Absolute Truth or the spiritual world? Is there anything more attractive than that for the mind? Oh. So we have to convince our intelligence that actually the intelligence will give so many ideas, so many thoughts about what's better. What's better than devotional service? What's more enjoyable than Krishna consciousness? So that has to be all dismantled through logic and spiritual intelligence. And because of this transcendental qualification, the Supreme Lord is extremely favorable to devotees, indeed not only devotees, but also the devotees of the devotees. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu identified himself as Das Das Anudas. He instructed us to become not directly servants of Krishna, but servants of the servant of Krishna. One who becomes a servant, like the six Goswamis, is still more devoted. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, if one sincerely serves the spiritual master, Krishna certainly becomes favorable to such a devotee. Following the instructions of a devotee is more valuable than following the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. So, again, we have that tendency to seek direct contact or mercy from the Lord. But Krishna's nature is such that he will give, how does he give us his association, his instruction? By sending the devotee in our life. And that devotee becomes the means, the medium, through which we receive the Lord's instructions. And that is his greatest mercy. That is his kripa shakti. Guru, sadhu, this is what actually allows us to have that relationship with Krishna. And ultimately one day, hopefully achieve the Lord's mercy, as we're hearing here in this verse. So I'll stop there. I thank you all very much for your kind attention. I didn't have so much very clearly planned out, but hope maybe you received a few points of contemplation. Any questions or comments?
Hi, Krishna Prabhu. Thank you for your class. You made a lot of wonderful, nice points, so thank you for your class. But one point that brought to mind was you mentioned that six Goswamis and having a big building, something to that extent. And so please forgive me for not organizing my thoughts, but maybe you could comment on some points that reminded me. Usually, obviously, living like the six Goswamis for us is probably won't be favorable to our devotional service. On the other hand, sometimes living in a building can also be sometimes detrimental because we're spoiled. And so maybe you could comment on something I appreciate from something Narada Muni said. And this is from the 10th canto, 10th chapter, so pastime about Nalakavana Manigriva. In that pastime, Narada Muni mentions that there are two types of austerities one can perform, voluntary and involuntary. Mm. And most people, generally speaking, are not willing to perform voluntary austerities. Like you were mentioning, that verse of Lord Shiva, that's the highest form of worship, voluntary. But in this pastime, he mentions that there's nothing more contaminating than being spoiled, than having wealth. Even this is considered worse than beauty. People become more proud when they're spoiled than have wealth. So can you comment on the fact that, and also in this pastime, he mentions that for example, when someone is starving, doesn't have sufficient money, he automatically derives the benefit of great sages who voluntarily undergo austerities, because he's forced to do austerities. Because the reason I appreciate it is because he also mentions, Narada Muni also mentioned in his verse, that when you have wealth and you're eating nice food all the time, then your mind just it just goes to the Kali Yuga consciousness, which is bickering. That's what he mentions, that when one is starving, one doesn't have time to think about being envious of someone. You're thinking about eating. You're thinking about clean water and stuff. So in light of this disaster, how do we develop this tendency that it's also a blessing sometimes Krishna takes facilities away? Because then the tendency is that when we get spoiled a lot, you know, all these things we hold dear to our heart, you know, like bickering and fighting, it's Kali Yuga, it becomes that much more meaningless. Like, why am I wasting my time, my bhakti, and my energy? So how do we develop this gratitude that in the material world, we think things could be much better, but in the end, things could also be much worse. So maybe you could expand on some of these
points. Austerity, actually, that we have to try to develop is to put ourselves before the devotees. By serving devotees, I was seeing a lecture of Srila Prabhupada. He says, actually, our process is to serve the devotees. If one doesn't serve the devotees, if he thinks he is independent, then immediately, he said, he goes to hell. He said three times. If one thinks, now I've become devotee, I don't have to serve other devotees, he goes to hell. And then he said it again. So our business is to serve, be the servant of the servant of the servant. If one thinks he's independent, then he goes to hell. So many austerities are there, which are required, just in terms of our building. I was just seeing how sometimes it's kind of a wake-up call. You know, this whole episode is giving me a lot of realizations about this temple, about how much maybe we take it for granted. How amazing of a community and building this is, and having it shut down, you can see it's scary. It's scary thinking what might happen if that ever had to happen. But the whole community becomes, you know, a little separated. The whole inspiration is not there. The peace, everyone is scattered around, you know, ever here and there. So many places they don't have a temple. So Kishore Kishore are making us really take a closer look at the value, you know, appreciating what we have. And at the same time, it's also showing us that in everyone's life, this is what I was just thinking about yesterday, in everyone's life there will come a time when we have to leave this world and we can't take things with us. What can we take? Nice place or facility, or actually it's all temporary. So the Vedic culture prescribes that actually at a certain age or stage of your life you have to renounce, because otherwise you're living in illusion. We're living with so many conceptions of comfort and security, but none of that is substantial actually. So we generally build security, a concept of happiness or contentment, but the ultimate fact of the matter is that that's illusory. Ultimately, we have to go. We see when the Pandavas retire, great kings, great military generals, commanders, when that time comes, they have to leave everything and just go. They went head to the north, and then slowly they die one after the other, they leave one after the other. So it's a reminder that we have to keep the bigger picture in mind also. And a devotee is completely dependent on serving devotees, but he himself also is endeavoring to be aloof from the material entanglements of this world. So the austerity, in terms of practicing austerity, some comes without being sought, some we have to try. The idea is that we have to push ourselves. And that is generally done by putting ourselves under some type of authority, some type of devotee or someone we willingly submit ourselves to who will engage us in the service. That's taking the role of the servant of the servant. And that is actually the great challenge for us. More than eating very austerely or living and sleeping on the floor, it's to actually try to be the servant of the servant of the servant. And in that way, we stay protected. We get Krishna's protection. So those are some thoughts on austerity. Okay, I think we'll Jitendra Prabhu.
Mother Omangi asked me if we could take down the mandap. Since we have a few people here, we could do that, hopefully before prasadam, or only take a few minutes.
Jai. Thank you, Prabhu. Always keeping us in service mood.
And also, we're hooking up an alarm on the door here. And it's going to be controlled, I guess, with a key certain times of the day to keep the good men honest. You know, people going downstairs or going wherever they want to go.
Sure.
So this is a little indicator here.
You can keep...
So that's what it'll sound like.
Will it beep until someone turns it off?
It'll go for 2 minutes if we don't turn, you know, you could do a key too, but there's other adjustments we can make, but...
Intruder alert.
Yeah.
Can you show me how to turn it off?
Well, we'll...
Thank you for your comments, bro.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Kuntala Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Nithai Gaur Premanande. And happy birthday to Subal Prabhu and Madhava Gauranga Prabhu. It's a very auspicious day.